Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm hearing a little bit of static on the line, and I'm hoping it's not weather-related, but it could be. My guest today is Snow Dan. He's in New England, and I'm in the very deep south where it's also very cold. So if it's fuzzy, I'm going to blame it on the weather. So this week, I welcome to the show Derek Fredrickson. Derek is CEO of ClientAttraction.com, a company devoted to teaching solopreneurs how to make quantum leaps in their business using proven marketing and mindset techniques. After working in corporate America on Wall Street for over 10 years, with extensive experience in project management and technology, Derek willingly walked away from a secure, high six-figure salary and is now living the life that we all want to, which is he is fully living his life's purpose. Together, I have not had enough coffee. I'm going to apologize straight out of the chute. So if I start stumbling, Derek, you take over.
Okay.
Together with Les Debian Fredrickson, they have created their Life by Design. Love that. Working together on their business and leading workshops, mastermind meetings, and full-day coaching programs. At the same time, they are successfully creating what many would consider the ideal life of the entrepreneurial family. They're free to grow their income and their quality of life to unlimited levels while spending more time with their growing family. As a result of this transition, Derek coaches alongside Fabian on principles of information and internet marketing, which helps small businesses attract more clients and, of course, receive tremendous growth in the bottom line. Derek has also recently launched his brand new site, DerekFredrickson.com, where he teaches authentic and practical online marketing techniques. And this helps entrepreneurs attract more leads, convert more sales, and multiply their current revenues. So through his products and private coaching, Derek shows clients how to authentically, that's an important word, and pay attention to that, authentically master the online marketing they need to help dramatically increase their reach and their business results. He also coaches men on issues of self-awareness, self-purpose, and how to transition from a life of little fulfillment to a life full of purpose, joy, and self-expression. And today he's going to share with us how authentic, there's that word, authentic list building differs greatly from traditional list building and why authentic list building is essential for growing your business and as a result making more money. I did all that without biting my tongue. Good morning, Derek.
Hey, good morning to you, Denise.
Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm delighted to have you here. I'm very excited because I've watched you and Fabian for a long, long time. I've been very aware of what you guys have been doing for, again, a long, long time. In fact, I started watching her when she first started out.
Oh, that's
and
great.
You guys have done some tremendous work in the field of internet marketing and just teaching people how to really do what they love and love what they do. So, Derek, before we get started, can you kind of go back down that memory lane and tell how you became this expert on authentic list building and give me just a little bit of your story so our audience is familiar with you?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. It's kind of a unique story. I'm a relatively new entrepreneur. I started out in really kind of corporate America. I had a background working on Wall Street and investment banking for kind of the first 10 years of my career and really thought that that was the path I was meant to be on and kind of climbing the corporate ladder, steadily over the years. And as I was doing a kind of corporate rat race on Wall Street, and although I was getting paid very well for it, it really wasn't the most rewarding work. And when I was looking at my wife Fabienne and the way that she was growing her business, client attraction, and the results that she was getting, not only financially, but then just the sense of fulfillment and purpose and reward that she would get from working with clients and really kind of making a difference, it made me kind of take a step back and say, well, you know, maybe this path that I'm on isn't the best path for me, and perhaps there's something else out there that I could be doing that I could, you know, really kind of tap into, you know, my skills and expertise. I knew nothing about internet marketing. I knew nothing about, you know, being an entrepreneur or client attraction or information marketing or anything like that. And what happened a couple of years ago is my wife was almost at the point where she was crossing the seven-figure mark in her business, and she had done that through blood, sweat, and tears on her own with a small team of virtual assistants and working hard and really, you know, doing a lot of the coaching and doing events and mastermind programs and everything else. And we sat down and made a conscious decision, the two of us, to see how I could perhaps help. What could I do to help, you know, develop the business even more? You know, and there were some areas that I had some experience in as far as finance and maybe technology, and, you know, maybe there's some things that I could leverage there to really help grow the business, because she needed a business partner. She didn't need more assistance. And we decided to take a leap of faith, and this was back in the summer of 2008 when banks were losing billions of dollars and laying off thousands of people, and I decided to go part-time because I still wasn't quite 100% ready to make the big jump from corporate to being self-employed. But Fabienne said, you be careful. Once you taste the Kool-Aid of self-employment, you'll never want to go back. And I was supposed to be part-time for 6 months, and I lasted no more than 6 weeks. And I quit my corporate job, joined my wife, Fabienne, and I had thought my plan was to be kind of the behind-the-scenes guy and doing some finance, doing some technology. Things like social media really started to take off at that point, like Facebook and Twitter, and I really got into that. And I was a newbie. I didn't know any of this stuff. I didn't know, you know, list building. I didn't know anything about websites or video or lead generation or anything like that. But Fabienne would go to these workshops and go to these events, and she would come back with these info products, you know, how to create, you know, a big list, how to, you know, grow your continuity program, how to develop a website that will convert, you know, traffic into people on your list. And I started to consume myself with all this knowledge because I was fascinated by it. It was just all so new to me, and I really was very intrigued by this idea that you can exponentially grow your business online using the power of the internet and getting your message out there in a big way and getting people to join your email marketing list. And I was very, very excited about the whole idea. But what I realized is looking out there and following some of the big names in internet marketing and learning from them and studying what was being done, it was a different approach than I had thought it would be. And what I mean by that is it some way, and for anybody who's been online or done some research on the internet, you've probably seen this kind of slick, salesy marketing approach where it's a little bit more of the, you know, kind of push my marketing out there and I just hope somebody will buy my product or join my email newsletter or something like that. And that was felt very kind of yucky in a way. It wasn't very client attractive, as we call it.
No. And
yeah, exactly. It was a lot of slick and a lot of and what I realized is that the strategies were great, but in some ways they weren't very authentic and they weren't very consistent with the way that we were trying to build our relationship with our clients and our prospects. And so I really started to pick up on some of the strategies and say, how best can I adapt those strategies to be more authentic, more transparent, really build a connection and a bond with your client and your prospect in order to build your business and grow your list. And ever since then, I've just been, you know, consuming this information left and right and working with our clients and really helping them build their business and build our client attraction business by building our list authentically and with great results so that we can, you know, really leverage the power of the internet and continue to grow our business online. So that's kind of the big story wrapped into a small-minute version.
Well, what you're telling me and what I'm hearing, honestly, is that you understood the know, like, and trust principle before most people did.
Yeah.
And it's so important. I mean, I know that we're in the information era, if you will, but to my way of thinking, I think we're more in the way of relationship era. Yep. Everything we do now is relationship networking. But while you were talking, I wrote down two questions.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. How do you work with your wife? I mean, that has got... And I don't
I get that question all the time.
I could not work
you know?
With my husband.
I know.
I love my husband. We both have computer science degrees. You know, we both are nerds to the nth degree. I would kill him. It's just that simple. So how does that work out? I mean, do you have, it seems like I saw that you have a product somewhere. I think I was visiting DerekFredrickson.com, and it seems to me that I saw a product about working with your spouse. But
yes.
Can you just kind of share with us some of the steps and some of the, I guess, the principles that you had to put into place to make that work? Because working with your wife or your husband is not the same as working with another person. I mean,
tell me about it. Yeah, we've gone through it. I mean, we've been working together for about two and a half years. And yet, again, think of it this way, Denise. Fabienne built Client Attraction over 15 years ago. It was her business. It was,
it's her baby, yeah.
It's, exactly. As an entrepreneur, whatever you start and create, it is your baby. It is part of who you are. Mm-hmm. You are part of it. And here I am, you know, I'll never forget the first day, even when I was just going part-time at UBS, which was the investment bank I was working at, and my first Monday of working mm-hmm. with Fabienne, we had we live in Connecticut down by the beach, and we walked down on a Monday morning with our clipboard and a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and we sat down by the water, and we just kind of looked at each other and said, you know, what are we doing? What am I going to do? Like we knew the idea is what we wanted. The idea of us being able to create our life together, working, growing our family, living together, and that's what we wanted. And I can totally appreciate that that is not what a lot of people may want. You know, your spouse is wonderful in so many ways, but the idea of possibly working together just is like so far-fetched, it's not even an idea. But we knew that that's what we wanted, the idea that we could create our life by design. And working together was a part of that, but we hadn't necessarily mapped out exactly what are all the things that I would be doing. So one of the jokes that I made was when we first sat down together, I said, so, you know, here's what some of my thoughts are. And I kind of made the joke of, like, where's the new employee manual and where's the new procedural manual and how do I do this and how do I do that? Because I was coming from corporate, and this was like a one-person show. But I needed to realize that I knew nothing about this business. I knew very little about online marketing. I knew very little about what my wife actually did. And so it took me a while. I basically started from, like, the mailroom up and learned everything about, you know, the team that we had, the products that we sell, what we actually do with our clients. Because I knew I couldn't necessarily go in there and start improving the business unless I knew what the business was about. But there were definitely some bumps along the road.
I like that.
Yeah, and there were some bumps along the road. But the most important thing, I mean, for anybody that's out there that's thinking of doing that or even just contemplating the idea, and we have a lot of clients. I mean, most of our clients are women, and when we coach them, this often comes up because they may have a spouse, a husband that's not overly supportive of their business, or they're in corporate and, you know, focused on money, and they're spouse and she's trying to really grow the business and maybe invest in herself or invest in a coaching program. And what I always tell people is that it's three levels. The first level is awareness. You need to be aware of what your spouse is doing and just kind of be on board with the idea of them being self-employed. That's first and foremost. The support is everything. Second is a level of understanding and understanding who they are and what their business means to them, because if you're in corporate, what your job is very often different from who you see yourself to be. But when you're an entrepreneur, it is not a job. It is who you are. And so there's this level of understanding that somebody really needs to appreciate. And the third level is the commitment and the communication that's required if you're at the point where perhaps you're working together, or even if you're just helping out your spouse on the weekends or evenings the way I started out. It was all about communication. We had to be completely transparent, open with each other, because first and foremost, our marriage was non-negotiable. So if it ever got to the point where it was going to put our marriage at risk because we could not work together, I would go back and get another corporate job. And that was always the overriding factor, but we knew that we wanted to make this work. And we have. I mean, 2 years later, we've almost, you know, doubled the business every year, and I've gone from this behind-the-scenes kind of technology guy, and I'll be speaking on stage and you know, launching my own coaching programs and coaching my own clients and working together and traveling together with our family, and it's ideal. So we've really created that ideal lifestyle, but we've gone through it with some bumps on the road and kind of learned what to do and what not to do. So I hope, you know, for those of you that perhaps are listening and thinking about something along those lines, maybe that gave you a different perspective to consider.
Well, I know my husband was unemployed for about 6 months, you know, when the whole downturn started, and he said, well, I'm putting at risk me. I said, well, why don't you work with me? I mean, he listened to me every night. He'd come home, we would discuss, we have what we call family time.
Yeah.
And it's not negotiable. I mean, the door is not answered, the phones are not ringing. You know, we just, it's family time. That's just, nobody else is allowed. And he would listen to me talk about my day, and he would act like he understood it. And he would ask cogent and articulate questions because he's a very bright man. Once, when he became unemployed for that brief period, I said, well, you know, why don't you not worry about just taking, you know, the first IT job that comes along and work with me? I would love to work with you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, all of a sudden, and I'm willing to bet that you experienced this, all of a sudden he started going, wow. You know, I used to listen to you and nod my head and go, uh-huh, honey. I didn't know what the heck you were talking about.
Yeah.
Did you experience that too?
Yeah, I mean, there were many years before we got to the point of even talking about us doing something together where I was very disengaged in what she was doing. Where I kind of treated what she was doing a little bit, I mean, I'll be completely blunt and transparent because we've shared this. I mean, if you know anything about us, we've spoken on stage and talked about this, and we did a product where we basically spent, you know, an entire day telling people how we went through this entire experience. But there was a long time where I thought what Fabienne was doing was kind of like a hobby, and I kind of treated it as such, and I took very little interest because, again, there was that distinction between what you do at home on your computer and on the phone is that's what you do during the day. That's your job. That's part of your career. And I do my thing at the investment bank. And then when we come together, we're husband and wife and father to mother to our children, not, you know, a coach or, you know, a consultant or, you know, a marketer or anything like that. But it took me a while to get very, you know, basically very truthful of her that it was hard for me to understand and kind of appreciate what it was that she was doing because at the same time, I was so unappreciative of what I was involved in, what I was doing. I was getting paid very well, but there was just no fulfillment. There was no sense of accomplishment. It's like I came home at the end of the day, and I'm like, I'm not really interested in talking that much about work. I didn't really do anything. You know, it's very political. There's a lot of corporate BS going on. And Fabienne was like, oh, my day was wonderful. You know, I had this client, she had a major breakthrough.
You're describing my house.
Yeah, exactly. And it was difficult, you know. And it was just this path that we went on. But I'll give you what changed it for me is we started to have conversations, which you have to have with your partner or your spouse, whether you're thinking about working together or not. It all comes down to communication. You need to talk about these things. You can't just kind of shovel it under the rug and hope it really goes away. So one of the things that we talked about was we just started to talk about what it would be like, what would our life look like if we had the freedom, because that's what it's really all about, if we had the freedom to do the things that we really want to do. Like for me, and for anybody who knows me or follows me in social media, they know that my number one passion is skiing. I'm obsessed with it. I'm a fanatic skier. I think about it all the time. I could be sitting on a beach in the middle of Hawaii in 85 degree weather, and I'll be reading the ski magazine thinking about 20 degrees and snow. It's just who I am. It's part of my DNA. And so what she did is she tapped into that and got me dreaming and got me really thinking on a more outside the box paradigm of what would it be like, Derek, if we actually had like the ski house of our dreams and was able to ski 30 days a year and teach the kids to ski and take ski vacations and describe to me what the house would look like. Where would the skis go? How big would the fireplace be? Who would we invite for family and friends for vacations to go skiing? And my mindset started to shift from this idea of I have to be on this kind of corporate path to get to this life that will be 30 years down the road to, like, maybe in a couple of years we could really start to make a go of this and then ultimately get to the place that we wanted to get to. So she kind of played a little mind trick on me to think outside the box of what was possible and really see that with the potential of us working together, my experience and skills and what I brought to the table complementing what she had to bring, we could really grow that business. And that really got me thinking, well, this is something to consider because the alternative is going to be a lot longer and a lot more stressful, where this could be a much quicker path to get to the place that we wanted to get to. So that was extremely helpful.
Right. I think most corporate jobs, most jobs actually, are just delayed gratification. You have to work, work, work. And then down the road when you retire, you might kind of soar to get the, you know, the ski chalet or the Mercedes,
yeah,
or whatever it is. But it doesn't have to be like that. And I'm with her. I don't think that way at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, you absolutely just described what has gone on in my household as well.
And
well,
I know it happens with a lot of others.
This.
You know, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, we see it with our clients. And it's not about the material things. That's not what really matters. But it just got my mindset shifted in a different way that I hadn't thought of before, because, you know, I would say I was conditioned, but I was led to believe growing up, whether it was family or friends or, you know, career, that this is what you're supposed to do, quote, supposed to do.
The traditional, right.
You get a job, you go to college, you get a job, you work, you place a lot of, it's got to be tough, it's got to be strenuous to go through to succeed, to get to this point many years down the road. And, you know, I was seeing her double her business and just, you know, those, like, fulfillment and, like, expression and purpose and all these things that I never really knew were out there. So it was a big shift that happened. And when it happens for people, I think, whether you're an entrepreneur or from corporate to transition to an entrepreneur or just even within your relationship with your spouse, it's transformational, like it has been for me. So
it is. Now, Derek, you mentioned something in the very, you know, when you were sharing how you got started, you mentioned a couple of things. That was one of them. But you also mentioned that Fabienne would go to seminars and she would go to, you know, all kinds of different kind of educational programs. I know what I think about, you know, continuing your education. I think it's critical. But how important is it to entrepreneurs to go to seminars, to pay to go if they have to pay to go to these types of events? I mean, I think they're very, very important. And I would like to hear your take on that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, at the beginning, when Fabienne was starting out and started to, you know, invest in her business more and invest in herself more, because, again, her business was her and she was her business, I had kind of a two different ways to look at it. One, listen, it's your business. What you need to do what you need to do with the business is your decision, right? So if you need to spend money to grow the business, that's your prerogative, and I kind of left that to be her decision to make. However, at the same time, looking at our finances together as a couple and raising a family and considering, well, you know, that's not a insignificant amount of money that you would be investing in, say, a coaching program, I felt a little bit more invested to ensure that there was a return of that investment and the value that she was going to be receiving, so I took more of an interest. I'll remember the day she came back. She went to a workshop. This was a couple years before I had started working together. So this was back maybe late 2007 or late 2008. And she came back from an event and said, you know, we were in the car driving to Vermont, here in New England, where we go skiing every weekend. And she said, so I need to talk to you. I am going to be doing a coaching program this year. I said, okay. And she said who it was with and what she got out of the event that she went to and felt that this was the next level that she wanted to reach in her business, and this is what she wanted to do. And I said, so how much is the coaching program? And I thought maybe $5,000, maybe $10,000, $15,000. $100,000. And I kind of like, whoa. Is that like, was that a mistake, or is that like a 10-year plan, or do they get to like take care of our kids too? I mean, what else do you get for $100,000? I knew at that moment she was more committed to do whatever it took to grow her business to the level that she wanted to get to. I had never seen a sense of determination and self-purpose to make that happen when she told me that she was serious about doing. And I knew, I looked in her eyes and I knew no matter what I could say or what I would do would change her mind. That's where it kind of took over this is what you need to do. I trust you. I believe in you. Mm-hmm. I support you. I don't know where we would get that kind of money. I don't know how we're going to make it happen. But if you feel and you believe in yourself so much that that's what you need to do to make that next step, then I support you 100%. As difficult as it was, because that is a lot of money, and I'm not going to belittle whether it's $100,000 or $10,000. We see it with our clients who invest in our programs. It's the same thing, whether we have a $100,000 program, we have a $6,000 program. It's the same conversation. It's the same idea. Mm-hmm. But that support was absolutely critical. And you know, she that year is when she took her business from a low six-figure business and crossed the seven-figure mark. So she made over $1 million that year. And I know it was a result of that coaching and that mentorship. And really what changed is that the moment she made the decision to invest in herself at that level, she was already well on her way to reach the goals that she wanted to achieve that year. It was just the process of her actually committing to herself to make that happen, just as much as it was to getting the coaching, the direction, and the leadership that she needed that year. So that was pretty profound for me to be on the receiving end and having that conversation, as I'm sure many spouses have with their you know, husband or wife that wants to invest in themselves. It's a difficult thing to commit to, but in our minds, and where we are now, it's a must-have. You have to pay to make your business grow, right? It's not just like I'm going to open a website, create a product, and just hope that it will just kind of sell itself. You got to pay to play. You got to pay to make your business succeed in the same way that you would open up a storefront and having to pay rent and pay for employees and pay for inventory. It's the same thing when you do something online, and I'm a firm believer in that.
Well, you know, being a virtual assistant, I get this question. I'm always just, my jaw drops when I hear it, no matter what form the question comes in. And I will have people who are they're not fairly new, they're brand new, starting out in the virtual assistant industry, which is a wide-open industry right now. It needs to be tightened up a little bit. We need to have more in terms of, you know, how it works and what your skill set should be. And we're all working on that. But they'll say, listen, I'm going to make $100,000 this year, and they have the idea in their head that they get to keep every penny of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's money that's coming in. I kid you not. It's money that's coming in through their PayPal account. They don't worry about setting up with an accountant or, you know, getting their business model in line. They don't worry about, you know, setting up to pay contractors.
Yeah.
They don't even take into consideration that there's a lot of money that you have to pay out to stay on top of your business.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, $19 a month to AWeber or $300 a month to you know, Infusionsoft, or whether it's $1,000 a month for another virtual assistant. I mean, there are so many costs involved in doing business. And then there's that all-critical continuing education.
Yeah.
And they just say, oh, I'm going to make $100,000 this year. And that's like, oh, greedy. No.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm amazed by that mindset. I just, my jaw drops every time I hear it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that was where we were a couple of years ago. So now, you know, our business is a multi-million dollar business. And you know, we have five mentors. We belong to three mastermind groups. I have my own personal coach. Fabienne has her own personal coach. We have a coach that coaches us together. I mean, so we're a firm believer that you need to continually invest in yourself. You never reach kind of entrepreneurship nirvana or marketing nirvana, where you get to the point that, great, I know everything there is to know about how to make my business succeed. I can double it every year on my own, and I don't need anyone to help me or coach me or mentor me or support me or keep me accountable or anything else. And I'll tell you this. You know, we are each other's biggest coach. So if you, again, think about from the perspective that we're working together, you know, we're constantly supporting each other and brainstorming and coming up with ideas. And we have doubled the implementation, doubled the vision, because it's the two of us as a partnership together.
Right.
And we have all these other people that are on our team, you know, on the side of the court cheering us on and giving us the direction and leadership that we need, because we know that we can't do it on our own, you know.
No,
Fabienne has this quote, and I don't know where she heard it from, but, you know, there's no such thing as a self-made millionaire. And we're very, very, you know, big believers of that statement, that it's a misnomer, I think, that people feel that they can do it on their own and they can, you know, have this great online business and succeed. And you can, to a point. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of potential opportunity to really grow a business online. But if you really want to exponentially grow it and get to the point where you can have that freedom that I think a lot of people aspire to, you need a team. You need people to help you, support you, and as part of that means investing in yourself and investing back into your business as you grow.
Absolutely. I have two coaches and I have a mentor. Well, we get together on Tuesdays and it's a very loosely held mentorship. It's me and Tony Bodo. But we were on the phone the other night for 4 hours and 10 minutes. We're not entirely sure if we took care of all the world's problems or if we decided on world domination. We're not sure. But
yeah,
we just took care of everything during that call. And you come away from these things, and I know you experience this, with your mind on fire, your creativity is on fire. Sometimes you have to pay for these things. Sometimes they're free. But always,
yeah,
always, always learn from other people and accept, some criticism from other people and absolutely accept that they're going to look at your work and give you their opinion of it. And there's some nuggets in there whether you want to hear it or not.
Yeah, I mean,
so
there's no sense.
Always
no
bring other people in.
Yeah, no sense reinventing the wheel. There's no sense,
No.
If you're seeking out a mentor that is at a level where you aspire to be, and you can coach with them and double the time, reduce the time it takes to get there,
mm-hmm,
why would you not want to do that? I mean, I know it's very difficult, especially for people that are just starting out. We see it. We have people that are, brand new to business, and they're really passionate about their skill and what they can do, and they know they need the marketing help to get there, but the idea of investing themselves is it's difficult because they're already, starting out, spending money for a web designer, maybe spending money on a blogger or getting somebody to help them with their social media or these types of things. But the idea of having, a coach or belonging to a mastermind, it's exponentially just as important as all those other things, mm-hmm, as far as the framework and the structure of the business, because you need that support. It's very difficult to do it all by yourself. So
it is, and as somebody who has been there, done that, I look back now and I think, why was I so arrogant or ignorant,
yeah,
or both?
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, you do start out going, oh my gosh, I don't have the money and I need to pay, self-employment taxes and I've got to do this. And
yeah,
I now don't have that paycheck coming in. I'm living on my husband's income. And
yep,
oh my
exactly.
gosh, oh my gosh, it's way too easy to panic. So don't panic. Invest in, and you said it absolutely correctly, invest in yourself. It's so, so important. Amazingly important. Now, we've got a little bit far afield. I really wanted to talk with you because this is fun. I'm having a great time.
Oh, this is
but
great.
I really love talking
about this.
Yeah, okay. You know what? We're probably going to have a second show because we're not going to get everything that I have to ask in one show. But anyway, tell me about authentic in capital letters, list building in terms of how it differs from traditional list building. The one where you go out and join my mailing list. Well, why?
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
Yeah, I mean, and you'll, for anybody, I mean, who's not on email today, and with the volume of emails that people are getting, and the statistics are just mind-boggling, and ask anybody who's got a computer and is using email, their inbox is overloaded, and people are getting messages,
mm-hmm,
about this and that, and how do you cut through the clutter? So that's where I kind of saw the differentiation between what I call more traditional list building. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the idea of list building, if you have a website and if you are capturing somebody's email or their first name or their email, and you join their list, their email list, so that you can hopefully receive content, receive value, receive good information, and at the same time probably be presented with some offers or resources to that are marketed to you, that's list building. And traditional list building, in my mind, is kind of what you described, Denise, is going out and trying to find as many people as you can to join your newsletter, however you can do it, kind of like if they've got a heartbeat and an email address, you want them on your list, and then basically sending them lots of emails all the time with the intent of just trying to get them to buy. And I'm sure some of you are on the receiving end of that, where you've joined somebody's newsletter with the idea that you'll receive good content or something that will be helpful to you, and you're immediately pitched a number of different products, offers, resources, whatever it may be, and you're thinking, well, why, I'm just basically being sold to. That's not feeling very,
mm-hmm,
not feeling authentic to me. Where authentic list building is a lot different, where it's really about pulling people in right, with something that you have to provide to them as a resource or content or high-value information, and really focused on doing things in integrity and treating them, the people on your list, as you would want to be treated, and building that kind of long-term relationship with them, you know, by being their problem solver, by giving them good value, and ultimately it's about having a feel-good relationship on both sides. So as the person who owns the list, these are my peeps, these are my tribe, these are the people I honor and respect, and I appreciate them, and the people that are on your list feel the same way. So when that email comes through from Denise or from Fabienne or from Derek, that's the email they want to open. That's what they want to read because they know it's going to be, you know, good information for them.
Derek, I have multiple monitors, and I just opened up my Gmail account while we were talking. Guess what I just saw? There's a note from Fabienne Fredrickson. You're worth more than
that. Her email newsletter just went out. That's great.
It just went out. So I'm looking through it, and I'm listening to you going, oh, my goodness, you know, how's that for serendipity? Now, I have to tell you, I'm very fussy. I've reached the point, I think as most people have, about what newsletters I'm willing to accept and what newsletters I'm actually willing to read.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of them. You know, and I've got three or four others. The others, I'm sorry, they just, I either I'm not getting anything out of them, or I'm getting way too much. I'm being hammered, or I'm just really not getting anything out of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, about once every couple months I go through and I make sure that these are still the list that I want to be on, that there's still something that I'm learning from you, and I keep them. I've been on her list for years.
Yeah, yeah.
There she is. There you go. So
there you go.
That's how you build an authentic list. I mean, every time I look at hers and a couple of others, there's information. I will read them from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Now that, you have to really grab my attention, and I have to really want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. And
I don't,
you know,
want to be sold to, and she doesn't.
Exactly.
She doesn't,
and don't get me
wrong.
She
doesn't
hit
me over the head.
Yeah, I mean, there's a balance. I mean, I'm a marketer. We have a business.
Right.
We're in the business of making money. Why? Because, you know, with the money that we make, we can serve more people. We can reach more people. We can make a bigger difference. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in the idea that, you know, if you're not in business to make money, then you're in business to have a hobby. So our two goals are to make money so we can serve more people, and as a result, create more value and create more good in the world by helping those people. So the way to do that is, you know, with you can go and get a massive email list tomorrow. There are tools and resources and things to do on the internet where you can get 1,000 people to email tomorrow. But guess what? If you don't deliver good content or good value or have a good relationship, I bet in about a month you'll have 10 people left on that list because, you know, how are you going to differentiate yourself from everyone else and have them feel like that's the email I got to read because I know that article's really good,
yeah,
or, you know, Derek gives great information on this topic, or this person provides great information on that topic. You know, you really need to over-deliver, especially in this day and age where there's so much clutter and so much, for lack of a better word, junk out there. And I don't mean spam.
Yeah.
I just mean kind of junk email that people are trying to send out. How are you standing out from the crowd? And it's got to be high content, high value, focused on a long-term relationship, and treat these people as people on your list, not a number on your list. It's not a quantity game. It's a quality game when it comes to list building.
And you keep saying relationship, and that's so important. I mean, I get spammed all the time. We all do. And it'll be, you know, I'll look at it sometimes just for the heck of it because I like to see how people craft their writings,
yeah,
how they craft their offers. And a lot of it I'll just go, well, this is actually pretty good, but who in the heck are you?
Yeah.
And if I don't know who they are, if I've not connected with them on Facebook or, you know, LinkedIn or Twitter, and I have no clue, at that point I'm more than just a little bit irritated that they got my private email address.
Mm-hmm.
But they're marked as spam. I mean, it's become kind of a knee-jerk reaction with me. I don't know you. I've never heard of you. You know, you may have some quality content here, but I don't know you.
Yeah.
So, sorry, you're going in the trash.
Yeah,
and
that's
And I don't know this, but I suspect I'm not the only one.
Oh, no, you're definitely not. You're in the growing majority, as I like to say it, because it's all about that relationship and having, you know, what starts off a relationship is an introduction, which is why I'm a firm believer in the idea that the person who is potentially joining your list has to make the first step as part of the introduction. They need to, you know, you're pulling them in, but you're not, mm-hmm. you know, pushing them onto your email list, right? You're presenting them of something of value, like, you know, a free offer, like a video or an audio mm-hmm. or a CD or some really good juicy piece of content that really speaks to somebody and says, wow, that I really want that, and I'm willing to actually give this person my name and email and maybe even my mm-hmm. shipping address, oh my gosh, maybe even my phone number, because what they're offering for free is so irresistible, I'm compelled to make that transaction. And that's where I think some people get misled. In my mind, list building, especially the moment when somebody enters their name and email, like I look at it almost kind of scientifically, the moment when somebody enters their name and email to opt in to get something in return is 100% a transaction. And that transaction, mm-hmm. in my mind, has to be 50-50. They're just as equally excited to receive the offer of whatever you're providing as you are excited to receive their contact information so you can start that relationship. And it's got to start off on that right foot. Otherwise, if it's not an equal-footed relationship from the beginning, it's going to be more based around they're selling to me or I feel like I'm being sold to. This relationship feels kind of yucky. It's not authentic, and that's not what you want.
Right. Well, Derek, what are some of the reasons why somebody's list is not consistently growing with, you know, their ideal high-quality leads? What may they be doing wrong?
Yeah, I mean, we see this a lot because I think people realize sometimes the importance of list building. You know, they have this great idea, they have this great service that they want to get out there. They're a guru in their niche, whether it's, I don't know, you're a coach, you're a spiritual healer, you're a virtual mm-hmm. assistant. You're very good at what you do, but a lot of people, in my mind, in my opinion, think of it of list building as an afterthought. They don't realize that it's actually one of the most important things for your business, because with no list, you really don't have a way to sell your services or market your services or make money, because you can have the best website in the world that looks like just over the top fantastic. You can have the best product that does the most amazing thing, but if you don't have a list, you have nobody to market to, you have nobody to sell to, and you have no mm-hmm. possibility for revenue. So I think a lot of people overlook the fact that list building is one of the most important aspects when you're starting your business and actually incorporate it as part of your marketing strategy as opposed to have it as an afterthought. Another reason why I think people and maybe their list isn't growing is that it's kind of what I call it the intimidation factor. There's all these gurus out there, most of them men, most of them are pretty, you know, I think you use the word car salesman-like in a way, and you can kind of see their tactics, and that doesn't feel good for them. So, or feel good for you as trying to figure out, well, how do I grow my list? And you're intimidated by all the different ideas and strategies and not knowing which one will work for you and which one will work for your prospects and your market so that you feel like you're coming from a place of integrity. You're getting overwhelmed by like this kind of bright, shiny object syndrome of all these different ways to build your list.
I was just going to say that. You took the word literally out of my mouth, shiny object syndrome. I have to deal with this with my clients all the time. They'll say, ooh, you know, Jenkins has got this good project. Ooh, would you stop already? Seriously, just stop. Take a breath. Back up and let's look at your business model. But please don't go buy a $3,000 program until you've let me look at it, okay?
Yeah, and I think as a result of that, some people do make that mistake of following what might be the biggest bright shiny objects of the month for as far as a great online, you know, list building strategy. And as a result, I think they're misconception is that list building is a numbers game. It's not a numbers game.
Right.
It's not about how many people you can get onto your list. It's not a race, right? And I don't want to say it's like the slowest wins, but it's also definitely not the fastest wins, but it's more of a quality, not quantity. It is not a numbers game. The person with the most number of people on their list does not win, right? So those are some of the reasons why I think people are misled, yeah.
I think you're right. But going back to that, I have clients who have relatively small lists, but incredibly responsive. Yes. Because they deliver quality. They deliver content that these people want and crave. I mean, I've got a client that has a list of, you know, it's under 10,000.
Yeah.
He puts out something and, oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And his list has been with him a long time, you know, like Fabian's. And,
yep.
You know, they're just people who go, yeah, I want to see what you have to say. I want to see. The offer that you have right now may not be of any interest to me, but I sure know somebody who could use it.
Yep, exactly. It's all part of that relationship. I love hearing stories like that because I also love to hear stories of people that have a list of 100,000 and they have an open rate of 1%. It's like, well, you know, where's the disconnect there? I mean, I've only been doing my own internet marketing consulting for the last. I started my website and blogging and putting out, you know, articles in mid September. I have a list of 500 people, but I know when I send out an email, you know, my open rate is 90-95%, which is fantastic because I've cultivated that relationship with them. I don't go out and I'm not buying lists. I'm not, you know, spamming people. I'm just doing what I love to do, putting out really good content. And if people are interested and compelled to opt in because they want to get more of that, come on board. You know, that's my kind of philosophy. Mm-hmm. So I love to hear, especially for people that have a good size list, like 10,000-20,000, and have been around doing it for a long time and still have a really good open rate, because that just means they're all about the relationship, which is fantastic.
Right. Well, it's not only his open rate, his PayPal account swells every time he puts something.
Yep, then that's the benefit. That's the financial reward as well.
And people honestly will wait in line to get into some of his programs. He does some international programs. And they will literally, because he'll cap them, say, look, you know, to be fair for everybody, to make sure that everybody is well taken care of, we can only allow 20 people in this program.
Yep.
Or 250 in another program, and he means it. And you'll have to get on the waiting list for next year.
Yeah,
and
that's
great. And that list is tremendously responsive because they know, like, and just really love what he does.
So yeah, that's wonderful
when
to
you
hear.
See authentic list building, that's what I see, is it somebody who's built up this group of people, you know, he's fairly intimate with them, meaning, you know, he has never met them or even chatted with them, but he's cultivated this relationship of just over-delivering over a period of years. You know, he gives great content, great advice to put together a product or a conference or whatever it is going to be. People are standing there with their hands up, me, I want you.
Yeah.
That's when you see authentic list building, I think that's what you're talking about, yeah?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's and one of the things, it's the numbers game, I think, where people get confused. And so I'm always telling people it's not the number of people on your list, but it's not quantity, it's quality. And I think also where sometimes people get confused is the quality comes from, you know, what you provide to them, what you give to them is high content, high value information. But really the quality, you know, you can have a high quality list because the people know you, they like you and trust you. But really where the quality comes from is how much goodwill you've built into that list. And that's where the kind of long-term relationship takes hold, because the quality isn't just from the people on the list, right? Its quality comes from actually the relationship that you have with your list and how responsive they are and how appreciative you are of them and they are of you, so that when you do send out content, everybody reads it. When you send out an offer, people are chomping at the bit to get it. You've conditioned them to respond to your, you know, you're kind of like your I like to call it like your tribe, your peeps. It's the people that you rely on and they rely on you. And that's where the quality comes from, is that you've built that goodwill, which takes time, it takes effort, it doesn't happen overnight. That's where the quality comes from, and that's where the authenticity and the relationship comes from.
Right. Derek, very quickly, where can people find you on the internet? And then I'll ask you a couple of more questions.
Sure. I'm available. My website is Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, and it's Fredrickson, it's FredrickSon.com. You can find me there. I've got great articles about, you know, authentic internet marketing, as you can tell. That's kind of my thing with the...
Okay, I lost you. Derek, you there? Looks like we might have had a telephone glitch there. So while we're waiting for Derek to come back, we'll see what happens here. But we were talking. Oh, my goodness, I don't know what happened there. Derek, are you there? Huh. Well, we'll wait for him to come back. So anyway, we were talking about some of the myths behind traditional list building. We talked about how important the size of your list is. And one of the things that I did want to ask Derek when we get him back, well, this is really crazy. I hope he's able to come back. Is selling to your list over and over the best way to make money? That's one of the questions that we touched on without actually asking the question. And as I mentioned earlier, I have a client who has a tremendously responsive list. And he's been selling to this list for many, many years, and they are standing in line to get to whatever it is that he is offering. The relationship that he has with that list is that important. It looks like we may have lost Derek, and I am so sorry. So what we will do is I will try to get him back on another call another time. Let's try this.
Here.
Derek, what happened?
I don't know. My phone went down. I completely apologize for that. I'm terribly sorry.
That's okay. I was just chatting away, and I went, oh, my goodness. I thought maybe you got snowed under or something. But I kept on chatting. So one of the things that I was talking about while you were getting back on the line is that we were talking in a roundabout kind of way about some of the myths behind traditional list building. And we did cover, you know, the importance of the size of your list. You have a small, very responsive list. I have clients who have small, very responsive lists. So I think the list, and you think the list is, the size is not important. And I also talked a little bit about is selling to your list over and over the best way to make money. And from my perspective, when you have a responsive list and they are waiting to see what it is that you're up to and you are over-delivering, I don't think that's a bad idea. Can you
No.
That a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of people who sometimes feel, I don't want to email my list too often because every time I feel I email them, I'm going to get somebody to opt out and they're going to leave. Well,
yeah.
I'm on somebody's list and I get 2 to 3 emails a day. And the reason why I stay on is because it's high content, high value. So it's not the quantity of the emails that you send that's going to dictate whether or not somebody stays on your list or leaves. It's the quality in what you're putting out there. And the quality can be a combination of content and offers, right? So it is a balance where you can sell and market what you have to offer to your list, but it has to be supplemented and you know, balanced out with what you're providing them as good, you know, free content. So I think a lot of people traditionally feel that the only way I can make money from my list is just to sell to them over and over again. But that doesn't happen that way. You have to condition them and have a fine balance of what you're providing as content as well as what you're providing as a resource. And my thought is sometimes people really struggle because they feel like they don't want to give away too much up front, right? Because if I give them one of my best stuff now, like for free, you know, what would make them want to come back and they're never going to want to buy later? Well, for some of you who may have been online for some time or have heard a concept that's known as pushing the free line, which is, you know, this idea of the more that you can actually push the free line of what you are willing to give away for free, in my mind, from an authentic list building perspective, the more likely that person will actually come back and be interested in perhaps working with you or buying your services or investing in your product, because you want the analogy to be this. You want the thought in their head to be, if Derek is giving away such good stuff for free, I can only imagine what the great stuff is. I'm going to go check out and see what he has to offer. That's what you want your prospect to be thinking when you're emailing them or giving them some of your best content, you know, as far as articles or videos or whatever it is that you have to offer.
I agree. And, you know, one way I look at list building is that you treat it the same way you would a friendship. I mean, you're not going to have a friend that you talk to twice a year and just say, okay, listen, I've got this really cool thing and I want you to take a look at it. I'm in Amway now, and run over there and go get signed up. Wrong.
Yeah.
That's just not the way you do it. And, boy, I remember back, 7 or 8 years ago, everybody and their grandmother was involved in MLM. Now, I have no real issues with it other than don't sell it to me. I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's what you want to do, God bless, but please don't just all of a sudden pop out of the blue when I haven't spoken with you or seen you in a number of years and then all of a sudden want me to get in your downline. And
yeah.
I think that's what people make the mistake, and I know that's a weird analogy, but I think a lot of people look at list building in the same way. It's like, oh, I've got this thing. Okay, now you have to come pay attention to me. No, I don't.
Yeah, yeah. And
no,
that's
really,
where
I don't.
I'm like,
just go away
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, you said you've been following Fabienne for a number of years, and we get that all the time.
I have one of her original products. I dug it out the other day.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and that just comes from the relationship. And you know, one of the other I feel that's myths that are out there is that, well, you know, maybe so what you're saying, Derek, is that it takes a really long time to build a high quality list, and that's where I think that's a myth. It doesn't actually have to take a long time. And you know, one of the strategies I teach my clients when it comes to authentic list building is, you know, you can pay, you're going to pay whether for your list, whether it's pay for time or pay for money. Mm-hmm. And some of those are going to more quickly build the size of your list, where the others may take longer. It's more of an organic process. I'm going to give you an example. You know, my list has grown a couple hundred over the last few months just from me doing two things, article marketing and being active on social media. That's it. I don't buy leads. I don't do pay-per-click advertising. I'm not doing tele-summits or big joint venture calls or anything like that. Those are the only two things that I'm doing, and I'm getting 2 to 3 people a day that are authentically or organically searching for content, finding my articles, feeling compelled to opt in with my irresistible free offer, and that takes time. That's an organic list-building strategy, but they're very qualified. They're very motivated. They're very interested in what I have to offer. That's what I call a pay time strategy, because that takes time for you to write the content, you know, do your e-zine, push it out on the web, and organically have people find you and come back. The pay for money strategy is you can actually go and pay for, you know, banner ads or pay-per-click advertising on Google or Facebook ads or things like that. There are people that are out there, I think, regardless of what your niche is or regardless of what your market is, that are actively searching for the information that you have to share. And because they're super motivated that they're actively searching and clicking on ads and actually compelled to take their irresistible free offer, those people are super motivated and highly engaged to respond with what you're offering, that you can actually build a very responsive, high-quality list with a pay-for-lead strategy as well as you can with a pay-for-leads-with-time strategy. So it doesn't have to take a long time. But you can use a combination of both that can get you there fairly quickly.
You know, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I've never paid for leads ever, and I can't imagine that I ever would. But, you know, one of the things that I wanted to chat with you about, and I suspect we're going to have to get on another show another time, because I still have a ton of questions I want to ask you. But one of the things that I am noticing, and this is just kind of a thought, the flickering thought, if you will, that I had the other day, and social media, and I haven't really formulated it, so kind of bear with me here if you don't mind, but what I'm noticing is that at this point, because of the social media that I do, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, but mostly Facebook, I have almost been able to replace some of my list building with just Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't say replace it. I would never do that. But I've certainly augmented it because Facebook is a very powerful tool for me in the way that I use it. And like you, I do article marketing and, you know, I do a lot of all the same things. But I'm finding that most of my responses now, come from Facebook. It's a darn
thing. That's great.
Right.
Yeah. And we found that too. And I don't think that applies for a lot of people because a lot of people use the, what I call the churn and burn approach to, you know, building their lists using Facebook or email or Twitter or anything else. But what that says about you or for other people that are getting valuable results from Facebook is you're building an incredible connection and relationship with the people that are following you or that are networking with you on those platforms. Because, again, in the truest sense of the word, Facebook is a social networking platform. It is there to connect people. It is there to network people. So in the absence of being able to physically network with everybody that you would like to network with, that's what Facebook is. So the more that you can engage in that conversation and build a relationship with people, you're going to get a bigger return on that time spent by people, you know, joining your list or recommending your product coming to your webpage and liking you as a fan and doing all the things that are kind of giving you the thumbs up. Because kudos to you, Denise. You're doing a great job. I love what you've got.
Right.
you know, I'm one of your biggest supporters. And that's difficult to get on social media, and it takes some time and some effort to get there. And it's great that you're able to do that, because very few people are willing to take the time and the effort to build that relationship and build that following and build that connection. But when you do, man, the payoff is fantastic, because, you know, you've got some good lifelong supporters.
It really is. And, you know, one thing about Facebook and having those conversations on Facebook, you get to know people even though you may never meet them. And
yeah.
I get to interview people like you and like Fabienne and like Larry Wingate and Lynn Clapel and, you know, Rosalind Gardner, and names that I have followed around for a long time, and all of a sudden I'm on the phone with them, like, woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Couldn't do this without Facebook. Couldn't do it without actually, you know, carrying conversations on, really, you know, being out there on Facebook and giving, as you say, good quality content, you know, tips, advice. If I see something that somebody else has written on their blog that I think is just phenomenal, I'll share it. I have no reason not to. So you know, it does take time to build those relationships, but I have to tell you, I didn't do it deliberately. It was just so much fun that it just naturally evolved. And as a result of that, I find that my most responses, my website building in particular, comes from Facebook. I mean,
it seems
these days we're turning out, or we're delivering a site a day. We're not, but it sure seems like that.
Yeah,
but, you know,
and
we
it's
have,
great that you're...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's great to hear that, because I think a lot of people, and you know, are misled that, you know, Facebook is a time waster, and I don't make money on Facebook. Listen, nobody, not one person makes money on Facebook. Where you do make money is through Facebook or through Twitter,
right,
from the relationship that you have built with those people on those platforms and how you've connected with them. And that's a big misnomer, because people can, listen, I love Facebook, and you can spend a lot of time on Facebook and do all the great things that it has to offer, and you cannot make a dime. But if you do all the right things with the strategy and with the intent to be of service and to be yourself and be personable and build the relationship, that's where the value comes from, and that's where you can really kind of add some bang to your bottom line, I guess you could say.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not saying get rid of your list by any stretch of the imagination, but this is a very good way to augment your list and to get your presence out there and felt.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And that's the beauty of, you know, whether it's social media or video or, you know, the different platforms, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or some of the social bookmarking sites. I mean, that's the power of being able to connect with people. And like you said, people... You can connect with people that you would never otherwise ever had the opportunity to connect with or to get in front of, because you're able to position yourself with the content that you have to share or the person that you are and get people to notice you and start to build that relationship where, you know, in the days of before, it was just, it took a lot of time or a plane flight to go and see somebody and hopefully make a connection. So it's being able to do that instantaneously, and that's what people want, is this... you know, they want connection. They want instantaneous feeling like I'm there with you, and that's what the social media platforms are all about. So that's fantastic.
Exactly. Derek, I did not get to ask you about the four pillars of authentic list building, and I didn't get to ask you about your experience building your list. Can I get you to come back? Would you be willing to come back one day?
I would love to come back. I would love to come back, because I do have a lot there, especially around, you know, ways that people can really authentically build their list, and some ideas and strategies that we've been using to add, you know, a lot of qualified leads to not only my list, but to the lists of our clients. And I'd love to share those with your listeners. So I'd be thrilled to come back again.
Oh, good. Because my mind is on fire. I have so many questions to ask you. So I will go ahead and send you an email when we're done and you know, send you some dates. And thank you so much for being with me here today. I mean, you shared a lot of information, and I learned something new, which is always a plus. I love to learn something new every day. And I know our audience took away a lot of this. So thank you so much, and stay warm.
Thank you so much, Denise. We're covered in snow, but we enjoy it up here. So I had a wonderful time, and I hope everybody else did, and I hope to be back real soon.
Oh, you will. Well, listen, this is Denise Griffiths and Derek Fredrickson wishing you a great day and a wonderful weekend. And I will see you next week when Derek's wife, business partner, Fabienne, will share the show with me. Derek, thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks. You too, Denise. Take care.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.